And this is our State Capitol Report, our weekly recap of the top stories in state government and a look at what will be making news this week under the Capitol Dome. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, January 21st. On this Martin Luther King Day holiday, we will be carrying the annual tribute and ceremony honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. from the State Capitol Rotunda, hosted at noon today by Wisconsin Public Radio's Jonathan Overby. That coverage will start at noon here on the Ideas Network. The state capitol is a busy place these days with a new legislative session underway, with Governor Walker delivering his State of the State address last week. We will get the latest developments from our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, during this first half of our state capitol report. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
So on Friday afternoon, I noticed that a federal appeals court ruled on Act 10 in Wisconsin, the collective bargaining law. What happened?
Yeah, it seems like all the big court decisions have come on Friday afternoons the last couple of years. Federal court decision, an appeals court in Chicago, overturned a lower federal court's ruling that had overturned pieces of the collective bargaining law. And, you know, specifically that lower court had overturned portions relating to collection of union dues. Another provision, the appeals court said that, those should be reinstated, that, that the legislature had essentially established a reason for them, and, that's all they needed to do.
Well, if I understood this correctly, the basis for this lawsuit was challenging the constitutionality of Act 10 because it treated public unions differently. Was that right, Sean, that it was because Act 10 stripped certain public employees of collective bargaining rights and not others, like those in public safety jobs, that was why it was unconstitutional? And this appeals court said, no, the state can do that.
Yeah, and they said that it had violated their free speech rights and then their rights to equal protection, and that's the part you're talking about there. And, you know, specifically, the law was in theory designed to protect public safety employees, but you've had people who do highway inspections who are among the protected class because they were part of the state troopers. But then you have corrections officers, for example, who are not protected under the law, who lost their bargaining rights. And so that's where unions were hoping they could get, you know, at least that piece of the law overturned. They won in lower court. A federal appeals court, basically said that the law was upheld in its entirety. They didn't basically say it. They said it in its entirety. They upheld Act 10. And it was a victory for Governor Walker and a victory for Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, whose Department of Justice was defending the state.
Even if courts may not like what policymaking bodies have done, that as long as that has a rational basis, as in this case, that it's going to uphold their actions. And so making sure that the legislative body maintains that power and authority, I think, sends a strong, strong message with regards to a number of different cases.
And that audio courtesy of Gilman Halstead. There is still a court case that's tying up pieces of the collective bargaining law. So this wasn't the last word on this. There's a ruling in Dean County Circuit Court by Judge Juan Colas a while back that overturned pieces of that, and that's proceeding through state court. It's, you know, before an appeals court now, and that's challenging the law based on state constitutional issues, and so it proceeds. But this federal case that unions had really pinned some hope on they were dealt a big setback there. And they have to decide now whether they want the full Court of Appeals to hear this or if they want to try to do an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, but the U.S. Supreme Court does not take many of the cases that are, you know, petitioned.
Okay. Big news last week when the Republicans unveiled a new mining bill. Is this new mining bill any different than the old mining bill?
It's very similar to the old mining bill. I mean, I think you could pretty much call it the old mining bill. It's the bill that passed the Joint Finance Committee last session, but failed in the state Senate. And so it's not exactly the same bill that they, you know, unveiled at the start of the year, but this is the one that we were talking about when the mining debate ended back in March of last year. And so this is being sponsored by now Republican Senator Tom Tiffany. And, you know, the number one argument that Republicans like Tiffany are making, that this is going to be a jobs bill.
This is a real opportunity here in the state of Wisconsin for us to have a resurgence in manufacturing. We've always been a great manufacturing state where we make things. And this gives us the opportunity to rejuvenate manufacturing here in the state of Wisconsin. This bill will bring certainty and predictability to the process of issuing permits. And just to be very clear, this bill does not permit an iron mine here in the state of Wisconsin. That is left to our regulatory agency, the Department of Natural Resources, as well as agencies of federal government that oversee this also.
But the bill does limit the amount of time the DNR can consider a mining application, Sean, and it's a shorter period than what current law provides for?
Yeah, I mean, there's no hard end to current law. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it hasn't in recent years been tested because we haven't had a lot of mining applications. But Republicans in this bill want to set it at 420 days. And so, you know, certainty, a timeline, those are the points that Republicans are highlighting. And Republican Representative Mark Honnadel says that if you have this hard timeline in law, you'll be able to site a mine quickly.
In the first couple of years, there's a lot of what we'd call preliminary work. But after 2 years, after the permitting process and after the exploratory process, we get going with a nice iron mine in Northwoods.
So, I mean, basically the same points that they were making last year when this failed. In the interim, though, we had this study committee that was chaired by Janesville Democratic Senator Tim Cullen that met at length, talked to, you know, a variety of experts, among them, you know, an expert from the Army Corps of Engineers. And one of the things that Senator Cullen's committee learned from the Corps is that the Corps has to have, you know, 2.5 to 4 years on a permit. So if you're moving faster than that at the state, you're going to have some issues. You're going to set yourself up for litigation. Also, if you're not, you know, if you're making changes to laws that affect water quality in Wisconsin, you open up yourself to lawsuits and also to being blocked, having the mine blocked by the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, whose watershed is just downstream from this proposed mine up in Iron and Ashland counties. And so Senator Tim Cullen says he's going to introduce his own bill that's actually scheduled for tomorrow. And Cullen says the big difference between his and theirs is that his does not change environmental law, whereas Republicans do.
My bill says, even though it's difficult to get permitted to have a mine in the Pinoki Hills, my bill does not change water quality standards to allow the dumping of the waste into the water. So it's difficult to get a permit there, but it's possible with the bill I'm going to introduce. Their bill says there's so much water, we have to let them dump the waste in the water, which ends up in many bodies of water. There's five or more lakes, there's two rivers, there's 23 trout streams, there's wetlands all over the place, but it will include sulfide. There's going to be sulfide up there in the overburden. We'll end up in the Bad River, which flows through the Bad River Band's reservation into the largest clean water body of water in the world, Lake Superior.
There you go. I mean, you know, Tim Cullen says it's all about those environmental changes, that if you look at the timelines, even though he thinks the timeline that they have here is unrealistic, I think having sat through their committee and, you know, heard some of the debate from last year, sides probably aren't terribly far apart when it comes to timelines. But when it comes to these environmental changes, there are a lot of them. in the Republican bill, and they dictate how you can rearrange the landscape and, you know, basically make it easier for a company to get rid of millions of tons of waste that go along with mining, overburden, you know, the rock that that's not the ore that they're looking for. So that, you know, that's the big difference between what Senator Cullen's looking at and what they're looking at.
Do the Republicans concur that their bill changes law that would allow the dumping of mining tailings into the water? I thought I read that they said, we had Tom Tiffany on this program. Mm-hmm. He's saying, you know, nothing, you know, our bill would not allow, you know, this pollution to occur, that kind of thing.
I mean, what their bill does is it says you have to come up with a plan on how to deal with it. And I think, and to be clear, when they, you know, when they're talking about, you know, when Senator Collins is talking about potential water pollution, it's up in that region. It's not, they're not changing water quality standards statewide. The changes that we're talking about, or the, you know, any of the changes in the bill pertain to a mining site and kind of a perimeter around the mining site. But the, you know, Republicans are saying that because the mining company has to come up with a plan with how to deal with this waste, you know, that that's good enough. I think the issue you run into potentially with this mine is that there could be potentially a lot of sulfur or sulfide in the overburden or in the rock that's around the ore. And that is, when you're talking about a mine on the scale that they're talking about, it's very hard to get rid of. And as mentioned there, there's a lot of water up in that region and a watershed of a Native American tribe with sovereign treaty rights.
Well, we there will be a... There's going to be a hearing now on Wednesday as well.
They're hearing Wednesday morning, 9 o'clock at the state capitol and 411 South. They've scheduled it for 9 in the morning until 9 at night, or, you know, if testimony concludes sooner, they'll be out of there sooner. But they're going to go a max of 12 hours. And, you know, it's one of the most heated issues from last session. I guess the question mark that remains is what happens in the Senate. This Republicans picked up, because Senator Tiffany won a formerly Democratic seat in the Senate, Republicans now have a two-vote majority in the Senate. So Dale Schultz, a Republican from Richland Center, who blocked the mining bill last year, can't do that single-handedly this year. And he was asked whether he thinks there's any, you know, like-minded Republicans in the Senate who would, you know, help him get a bill that's to his liking.
We have had a discussion in caucus, and there were a number of legislators who had very strong concerns about lessening standards. What they're willing to settle for and how this bill shakes out, you know, those are questions that we have to, you know, sort of answer as we do our work. And so I wouldn't want to answer for any of them, but I think there is a considerable number of people in our caucus who are very concerned about the environment.
All right. So we will, we're going to be talking more about mining, by the way, when we welcome in the science and environmental reporter at the Wisconsin State Journal, Ron Seely, coming up after 7:30. This is our State Capitol Report. We are talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and we will continue talking about some of the happenings at the state capitol, including the issues involved with Governor Walker's State of the State address, coming up in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Checking the weather forecast for today. It's going to be cold, very cold, bitterly cold. High temperatures 10 below to 10 above. Wind chill advisories are in effect statewide today and tonight, and for part of tomorrow, for that matter. So bundle up. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, during this, our state capitol report. And Sean, we had Governor Walker deliver his State of the State address last week. Any surprises there?
Well, I mean, surprises in terms of the way that the governor sold the mining issue. He brought a number of you know, operating engineers, carpenters, other private union members up behind him at the speech, some of them wearing hard hats, unfurled a flag of the state of Wisconsin. So, I mean, it was a visual pitch from the governor. on mining bill, but in terms of details, no. I mean, he talked about being open to some changes to the mining bill, but he didn't specify. Talked about an income tax cut, but he wouldn't say, you know, for how much or for whom. Called for expanding educational opportunities, but wouldn't exactly say how or what he had in mind. And we did learn last week, an Associated Press report, that Senator Mike Ellis wants to have a vote on any time a community is going to the choice or the voucher program is going to expand into the community. He wants to have a vote in that community to see whether the community wants it. And so that's that definitely slows plans to expand vouchers to other districts. But as far as the governor's speech goes, they were not a lot of details. There are a couple areas where there have been some developments or there's some developments coming up, and one of those is going to be in transportation, where the governor has said that's one of his top priorities in the upcoming budget.
All are at a competitive advantage if we have a good transportation system. That's why I'm committed to improving our infrastructure.
But at this point, we don't know exactly how he's committed to doing that.
Yeah, because he said he didn't really want to raise the gas tax, right?
Yeah, he said there's no appetite right now with either among the public or members of the legislature for a gas tax. So even though that's a way you could raise considerable money for roads and a road builder's favorite, he's basically said no on that.
What about that mileage-based registration fee hike? Would that be?
You know, I don't know if I've heard an outright no from the governor on that one. But that is one that's a potential. You know, your registration fee varies based on how much you drive in Wisconsin. And that's part of a report that is going to be released. A final report's going to be released this week by this transportation commission that's been studying ways to fund roads. And it's got a variety of memberships, but it's a variety of members on the board, but it's definitely got its share of road builders represented as well. And so there's a few revenue ideas in there, and they're hoping that the governor folds those into his budget.
It sounded like the governor was also kind of doubling down on that campaign promise to create 250,000 jobs in his first term.
Yeah, last year, about this time, you know, the governor gave his State of the State address. We're in the middle of the recall campaign, and it was sort of conspicuously absent from the speech. But he mentioned it a few times in the speech last week.
As I traveled the state, it is clear to me why our focus on creating 250,000 jobs by 2015 is about much more than just fulfilling a campaign promise. Simply put, it's about helping improve the lives of 250,000 more families in Wisconsin.
And we got some new job numbers, didn't we, last week?
We did. So these are the preliminary numbers that come out every month. And we know that in December, Wisconsin, according to these preliminary numbers, and they vary, there's a wide margin of error. But in December, we created 4,500 jobs. And so if you add that to the other preliminary numbers that we've gotten throughout the year and the adjustments that come out every month, you come up with 9,700 private sector jobs created in Wisconsin in 2012. You add that to the solid number of 39. You add that to the numbers that you have from 2011, which are solid. They're based on a census of employers, and you get 39,500 private sector jobs created in the first couple years. That number is going to change. It could grow when the feds come out with their final numbers in June on, employer census numbers. But, as of right now, that's the best number we have. That's at the halfway point in the governor's term. So obviously not on path to hit that 250K mark.
I heard the governor also called for some changes in business regulations and other regulations. And the one that I see the Democrats are upset about or concerned about is changing the rules when it comes to getting unemployment benefits. Sean, what's the proposal?
Yeah, there's a fairly big package in there that the governor wants when it comes to changing who's eligible for unemployment benefits. And one of the ones that's gotten some attention recently is that it would change the number of work searches that you have to make when you're on unemployment from 2 per week to 4 per week. But, you know, there's just a variety of examples in there where, broadly speaking, it makes it harder for somebody who's on unemployment to get that unemployment, and sort of tilts the balance in favor of management.
Yeah. And what's this story you're working on about what businesses call the Holy Grail?
Yeah, well, this hasn't gotten a lot of attention yet, but if you look at the package that the governor wants, there is there's something in there that makes it easier for an employer to deny an employee or a former employee unemployment. And this is, you know, as you mentioned, business calls it sort of the Holy Grail of the package as far as they're concerned, and labor says it would do to unemployment law what Act 10 did to collective bargaining. So potentially big change as far as they're concerned. And I guess the question is whether they're going to let this stuff go through the Unemployment Advisory Council, which normally handles this stuff, has over the decades, or if the legislature is going to try to forge ahead with it on their own, given that they have Republican majorities there.
We have just a minute to go in this segment of the State Capitol Report, Sean. What else is what's happening this week that you want to highlight that you'll be covering?
Yeah, there's a bunch. Obviously, we talked about the mining bill on Wednesday. Senator Collins going to introduce his mining bill tomorrow. That Transportation Finance Policy Commission is going to release their report on roads. There's an audit hearing that's going to be taking place tomorrow in response to the UW's overpayment of $33 million in payroll and benefit processing. So that's a potentially contentious issue there for the audit committee. And there's also going to be there's going to be a public hearing on a constitutional amendment that would protect the state's road fund, which is, that's something that's going to get broad bipartisan support, but it comes at sort of an interesting time because you now have Republicans, looks like it'll probably be the second in a budget in a row that they pull money out of the general fund and put it into the transportation fund. So not all funds are sacred.
Lots going on. And I know you'll be covering the Martin Luther King Day tribute
right
at noon today at the state capitol. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.